Hi there, and welcome to Turning the Page podcast. You know, when trouble comes, we can so quickly isolate ourselves, but there needs to be an invitation to go deep and connect. God sets the lonely in families. We need others who will tag along with us and pray with us. It must have been a very lonely place. He had done everything he said he wouldn't do and gone against his deepest values. With a shudder, he realized he was not the man he thought he was. He was certainly not the man he wanted others to think him to be. The decision to go the way he went had its roots in something beyond his comprehension. There was a subconscious unawareness to his actions that now scared him to the bones. He was eating the pig slops of his own choices. Over and over again, one question haunted his mind. How did I get here? What's your family like? Immediately you may well think of your biological family. Mum, dad, brothers, sisters, uncle, auntie, your own children, your own kith and kin. But I'm going to suggest that your real family are those that are familiar with your journey. They are the ones who have experienced similar events, life events and struggles. Excuse me. People who have been there, done that, and will listen without any sense of judgment or need to give advice. Proverbs 18:24 says that there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. It's always fascinated me how people who have been through or are going through struggles seem to find each other. There seems to be some sort of supernatural magnet going on. One of the saddest aspects of when I was in ministry was when people would push against this act of God setting up of the lonely in families. Here's how it would work. I used to be a pastor of a church for people who, for the most part, had ongoing mental health struggles. We had a church service, camps, and all sorts of activities would happen. Those who came fell in love with the simplicity and the realness of people's faith. They had found a family that they could belong to. There were those on the outside of the group that would say that these people should be mixing with the normal, whatever the normal means. They defined what family should look like and who should belong. They had a model of what church should be like, and everyone should fit into it. Yet, I sense that all along God was wanting to set people in families of God's making, shared valued, shared experiences, shared dreams. Peter was one of Jesus' closest friends. He was in many ways closer to Jesus than a brother. The first nail that pierced Jesus' heart was when Peter denied ever knowing him. What's it like to have your closest friend stab you in the heart, to walk away at the time of your deepest need? It crushes your sense of humanity. You are no longer a human held, you are human abandoned. There is this delightful little post-resurrection story. Simon, Peter, Thomas, nicknamed Twin, Nathaniel from Cana in Galilee, the brothers Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. Simon Peter announced, "I'm going fishing." The rest of them replied, "We're going with you." Peter goes to something familiar in his life. Uncertainty causes us to look for certainty, a security, a known path. Peter goes to the nets and to the boat. His friends stuck closer than a brother. "We're going with you." Peter had been set in a family of brothers who went with him. Who's your family? We so easily overlook the family that God has set around us. We look to the professionals, the pastor, the church, our biological family, all for some sense of deep connection. All along, God is setting us within communities of others just like ourselves, others who would go with us when we would want to go fishing, to return to the familiar. I want a prayer partner, someone safe who will listen to the deep pourings of the heart and join with me in prayer. I don't want someone who will problem solve, give good advice or rescue me, all for the sake of themselves feeling uncomfortable. I want to be known, explored, discovered, and touched. Recently, I sat and listened to the psalm being read on the Sacred Pilgrim podcast, a podcast I'd highly recommend. And here's the psalmist. I sat there, in despair, my spirit draining away, my heart heavy like lead. I remembered the old days, went over all you've done, pondered the ways you've worked, stretched out my hands to you, as thirsty for you as desert, thirsty for rain. How would you respond? It was Psalm 143, 4-6. How would you respond if this was your friend saying this? Remember, no fixing, advising, saving, or setting one straight. When God sets us in families, we need to listen as God would have heard the psalmist's strife. Perhaps the act of listening is the rain that the desert is longing for. When trouble comes, we can quickly isolate ourselves, but there needs to be an invitation to go deep and connect. God sets the lonely in families. Here's some quotes to think about. In real community, people know each other. They relate in ways only God's Spirit makes possible. Larry Crabb. It is only when we are known that we are positioned to become conduits of love. And it is love that transforms our minds, makes forgiveness possible, and weaves a community of disparate people into the tapestry of God's family. Kurt Thompson. If we're to live together in a kind of relationally loving community that requires the Spirit's deep and ongoing work in our individual souls, we must not only assign priority to our soul formation over ministry activities, but also understand the soul formation is relational formation. Dr. Larry Crabb. Here's some questions. What is the family that God has set you in? Now, I'm not talking about your biological family. I'm talking about the relationships, those people who know you and know the where you're going and your struggles. Number two, what would it be like to be known, explored, discovered, and touched in a very safe way? Number three, why do we rush to fix, advise, save, or set one straight? Hey, we all do it, don't we? But why do we do that? Hey, I hope you found this podcast helpful, and I'd just like for you to come over to Turning the Page and to read the article, and maybe leave a comment, or even better, just send me an email. My email address is barry@turningthepage.info, and just a big thank you and a big shout out to all my the Patreon supporters and those who put a little bit of money in my bank account each month. It really does mean a great deal, and it means that I can actually do something like this. And if you'd like to know more on how to support this, you just go to turningthepage.info/support. Hey, and please come on over to the blog and share this content via your favorite social media platform. Hey, thanks very much, and I do hope you have a great week. Thanks. Bye.